The following audio file came from newwineonline.com. Here's Pastor Chris Simpson.
If you would turn to Proverbs 13:4, we're just going to look at a few verses in Proverbs. And that will release you to go eat chili. Wasn't God good to give a cold day for hot chili? Teaching today is consequences of being a spiritual slog, part one. Hey, I didn't pick that word. That's in the old King James. Slugs are gross. They leave slime behind them. I don't know what good they are. When I was a kid, we used to like to put salt on. Torch the floor thing. I mean, that's why I'm going through what I'm going through. Put beer in a slug? You put beer in a slug? Would it get drunk? All right. Enough about slugs. And get this group going. At least we're not talking about leeches. Proverbs 13:4. See how many of y'all need beer or salt on you. The soul of the sluggard desires and has not. The soul of the diligent will be made fat. Now I want you to look at one other verse, kind of a mate verse to that. 21:25. The soul of the sluggard desires and has not, like fantasy, you know. I know a guy used to come here. And got into all that name it, claim it stuff to an extreme. And he basically had a job as a laborer. But he was believing God for a house, a car, and the house needed to be by a lake, and on. But he was a laborer. And come around here and I'd say, well, brother, you know, I don't know if I don't believe in that name it, claim it stuff. But if you have those aspirations, it's possible you're in America. You know, be a good laborer, save money, go to school, blah, blah, you know, work your way up. He wouldn't do it. He just believed God was going to slap it on him one day. The soul of the sluggard desires and has nothing. He didn't want to do what was necessary to bring about what the results would be. Proverbs 21:25. The desire of the slothful. Now there's another creature. Slothful. That's a creature that hangs upside down in the tree about 18 hours a day. And algae grows on it. The desire of the slothful kills him. Look at this. For his hands refuse to labor. There's a lot of dreamers and wishers, fantasizers, out there wanting something for nothing. Frankly, I would say that's a lot of Americans. They buy into this, you know, American dream thing, but they forget the American dream entitles the American work. The American preparation and hard work. There's a lot in Proverbs about hard work produces. You reap what you sow. But sluggishness is a cursed place to be, guys. Yet by nature, we all descend to it. And hopefully, I want to show, stir up some initiative. That's kind of my theme over the last several weeks here. Stirring up initiative. Getting fight in your bones. Fighting, resisting. Amen? Resisting. We need to be reminded of that. Because our nature is this kind of passivity. You know, slugs like that, a lot of people often end up supporting. You know, they end up being indigents and 28-year-old guy still lives at home. You know, and the enabling parents don't do anything about it. In fact, you know, a lot of times one of the reasons somebody turns into a slug is because mom and dad are enablers. They never really taught them the value of hard work. My dad did. He was a Navy man. Had four boys. One of us wanted the car. He says, that's great. There's a lawnmower. There's a neighbor. Go for it. Never did get a car. Mid-20s before I got a car. See, I got saved in the interim. That was my excuse. But my dad, you know, he was gracious. He put us boys, three of us, through college, one through Tulane, one through Rice. And me through, frankly, a far better school, U of H. But we could go, where'd you go to school? But he was gracious. But, you know, while I was in school, back in the late 70s, early 80s, getting my degree, I was only about 10 years late. Because getting saved, going to Bible school, all kind of things, going to Christian community. Finally, I had a job as a draftsman. sitting there drawing. This is long before computers. Realized one day there was a ceiling I'd never crossed. And there was something snapped to me. I realized I was 27 years old. This was the window to go to school. And Dad had just finished putting the second son through Tulane. Never forget, he had a job in the oil fields. He was out in, had an office in Norway and Saudi Arabia. And my dad did really well in the old days. And he flew into the Warwick Hotel in 1977, late. And we went and had dinner. Came back to the hotel. I never forget, I sat him down and said, Dad, remember you promised me when I dropped out of school after I got saved, you'd send me back? I never forget that look. When he found out I was going to U of H, nothing like rice. Anyway, he was gracious. Sent me a check every month. I was able for 3 straight years to go to school without having to. I was able to work full-time at the church, frankly, as a youth leader and young people's leader, worship leader. It was a real blessing. My dad, I was honored. Got my degree. And, but you know, my dad didn't put up with this. In fact, when you were 18, he said, well, what are you going to do? You know, we're not going to live here. If you live here, you pay rent. You know, I'm hard school like that. Anybody know that lives with me? I'm hard school. Lazy men, lazy women produce lazy children and are not productive for the kingdom. You know, the mindset of sluggishness produces, somebody's always have to get rich quick scheme. Always going to the lotto. You know, at the end of the week. Isn't that sad? You're into a convenience store on Friday. Beer and lotto tickets. These guys work hard. And the refineries, used to be in an office out on Red Bluff, not far from my other office. See them lined up, lotto tickets. But you know, it's the really poor that pour a lot of the money in the lotto tickets. You know, the Bible says, he that hastes to make rich shall not be innocent. You know, easy come what? Somebody's always looking for the easy money. Doesn't want to work, just wants to slip and slide and find some little way around. Convinced. If it wasn't for the fact that there were probably at least 85 million other Americans doing the same thing, you might have a chance. Competition's pretty high looking for that easy money. Amen? How many of y'all grew up with kind of a tough dad who wouldn't let you, tough mom or tough dad, wouldn't put up with this sitting around? You know, my dad, he was vice president of a construction company before he got in the oil business. And I never forget, I was 16 years old, summertime. Oh, I love summertime. Not that. He said, here, come work in the yard. They called it the yard. This old black guy, he loved Jesus, old black guy. His name was Sam. And me and Otto Rook, one of my dad's favorite carpenters, his young son, gosh, I forget. I just connected with him not long ago, 30 years later, 35 years later. But the two of them, they put us, here I am, the vice president's son, out in the yard. And, you know, there wasn't much choice to do, so he'd go over there, point to that shed, so, well, all those bolts, all those thingies need to be moved over there. And then after we moved them over there, he'd say, well, you need to do this. It was all make work. I never forget, we thought we were sneaky one day. We were tired because we weren't having to work. So we went and found us a couple of tubes, tire tubes back in the back, way in the dingy. And we thought we pulled the trick. We laid down, snoozed for an hour and a half. Came back, and I'll never forget old black man Sam said, turn around. We both had big white rings on it. Gave us away. Kids are lazy. Takes a rod of steel with little barbs coming. I'm sorry. Well, you feel like that sometimes, right? They slam that into the tree before you whip them with the paddle. You know what? Slothful people are always fantasizing about things. Always dreamers, dreamers. Ruled by greed, held by laziness. Willing to con and scheme to get what they want. Eventually, guess what? Everybody's won. You know, I've known people that they basically shut the door to every relative and every neighbor. My brother, a couple of years older, he got into drugs. Never forget, my uncle, I had an uncle, my dad's brother named Jack Simpson. He was a producer in Hollywood, one of the producers of the Perry Mason show and several things. My dad was almost a Hollywood brat. After the war, he went and lived with Jack. And for some reason, he decided to come to New Orleans, get a job, and marry the boss's daughter. Praise God. But Jack Simpson, I never forget, he's sitting in our home. My brother's about 18. And I remember him saying, Tim, older brother, anything you ever need, give me a call. I'll be there for you. You know, there was a day Jack wouldn't even answer. Tim used every relative, every friend of a relative, and used them up. Because everybody saw through his con. Is anybody relate to what I'm talking about? Consequences of being a spiritual slug. Let's go up a couple other verses. Proverbs 18:9. Look at this one. He also that's slothful in his work is a brother to him that's a great waster. Interesting verse. Slothfulness, you just waste. You're a slob. You leave things left over. In fact, look at 12:27. These two go together. 12:27. Did y'all know there's a lot of practical stuff in Proverbs? It's my favorite book. Every day I try to read, doing that for years. It's gotten to the point I've almost known by heart. What is today? First, today is the day to read Proverbs 1. Amen. You will be wiser, a wiser parent, a wiser whatever, if you study the Proverbs. Just read them. Ponder. God gave us 31 of them. What does that say? Most months have 31 days. 12:27. The slothful man roasts not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of diligent man is precious. Guys goes out, buys a boat, license, guns, outfit, four-wheel drive vehicle. Gets out in the marsh, freezing to death, kills a poor little duck. And that's an expensive duck. Or, am I right? People never correlate these. Gets the duck, sends the dog to get the duck. Duck brings the dog to the boat. Dog brings the duck. He gets the duck, he holds it up, says, well, I got me a duck. Throws it at the bottom of a boat. Guess what? He doesn't do anything with it. Too much of a hassle to pluck its feathers and ew, when you start cutting it open, all that blood stuff. 2, he roasts not that which he took in hunting. Lazy. Too lazy to clean the game. You know what that speaks of? You ready? Now, look, I don't mean to be meddling, but if I hadn't already gotten under your skin, this is going to burrow in. They live in a sloppy environment. They won't put up their stuff. I'm sorry. I think the outward manifests and reveals the inward. When I go into a brother sister's house, it's trashed, things aren't put up. I can say within 3 seconds I know where they are spiritually. I'm sorry. There's a proverb. In fact, let me give you a, hold on. This 24:30. Proverb 24:30. I went by the field of the slothful and the vineyard of the man of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns. And nettles covered the face. And the stone wall was broken down. I considered and I looked at it. I realized, this guy's a slug. Let me read it another way. I went by the room of the teenager, looking through the door of his room. And lo, clothes were thrown everywhere. Stuff was stuffed under the bed. Things I'd given him to put up a month ago were just hidden. I looked and considered it, and what did it say? Time for discipline. You know, parents, a lot of times your kids are slobs because you're a slob. I've had people gone through the house, they don't even see dirt, they don't even see slobby. That's how they grew up. Folks, a slothful man lives in a sloppy environment. You want to start cleaning yourself up spiritually? Start in the external. Amen? Fold your clothes. This is not hang them up. Put your shoes where shoes go. Men, we live in a house with 7 people. And 4 of the guys live upstairs. And once in a while, Sherry ventures an adventure to go up there. Particularly when the cleaning ladies come. And it's a challenge. We believe you got to keep a public area decent like you would have it. You know what? A sluggard won't fix and repair that car or repair the house or repair his stuff. Listen with Solomon. By much slothfulness, the building decays. And through idleness of the hands, the house drops through. At 10:18 in Ecclesiastes. I mean, that's pretty bad, dude. All of a sudden, the roof collapses. Oh, that's right. I was going to fix that shingle about a year and a half ago. And it wore into another shingle, and then rain got in and rotted out the whatever, and the wood, and the floorboard. And, you know, things don't get fixed on their own. How many of y'all own a house? Let me tell you. You remember Dave Barry, the funny writer? He said, owning houses and other black holes. It was the title of a book. Owning a house and other black holes. That's what it is. It just shows a bucket of money. Wheelbarrow just pouring it in. But you know what? If you take things one day at a time, you're careful and you're faithful and you're disciplined. It's all about won't teach kids to care for stuff. Won't take advantage of opportunities. Waiting for opportunity to knock twice. That's somebody else. Impulsive. No planning. Shoddy. Am I getting under your skin? Often lives above your means. Slugs have high credit. They don't know how to live. I believe where God guides, God provides. Boy, we Americans are seduced. And I really believe that's a little, thank the Lord, my dad taught me and my brothers early on those principles to live within your means. Particularly when I was in college, I didn't have any choice. My only means what he gave me. A lot of sluggards don't know the value of a dollar. They don't understand how money works. Just don't understand. You know, I have a wonderful book for my business called How Money Works. Time I brought that into a Starbucks or something. Everybody was leaning over and said, where'd you get that? A lot of people don't know how money works. Wisdom about money. Do you know there's more about money in the Proverbs? It really is in the Gospels. Wisdom about money being discreet and frugal, saving, interest, all these types of things. Jesus didn't have any problem with interest. He gave a guy a talent. Guy brought more. Another guy, he brought a little less. One guy didn't bring squat. He said, well, you could have, what? Put it in the bank and gotten some interest. Here, I'm really going to get you. Are you ready? Slugs tend to be consistently arriving late. Meetings, a church. Now, I'm not saying everybody doesn't have their time, sure. But it's the consistent. You know, something really bugs me all my life. In fact, I'm in sales. I learned years ago when I got in the sales business, you don't show up at some client that you made an appointment 20 minutes late. Hello, you've lost, you know, are your job. And so it is. Sluggards are, they prioritize. They show up at things that's important to them. Otherwise, they're laggards. I wrote here, equates planning with dreaming. When they do get money, they spend it on indulgences or extravagances. How many people, you know, won the lotto? 3 years later, the bus, because, you know, I think now at least the state of Texas has some kind of financial help seminar for these poor people that get it and but now rich people for a while. So many people, when they get an inheritance, I've been in the financial services business many years, deal with people's inheritance, help them to set up retirement plans. And it is so sad. You'll hear about, you know, some lady, a widow, or she's divorced and she got this chunk of change. And I mean, like we're talking maybe $120,000 or something. And realizing, you know, that's your deal. That's your nest egg. That's your seed. By the time I get to them, it's gone. Or, you know, just a little left. Savings at, well, what's it now? 1.5%. Problem with slugs is no inner contentment. They're restless. And most of all, they're not grateful. Two more verses. Have I gotten under everybody's skin? You know what? You ain't supposed to go to church and get a feather. I'm sorry. I don't see that with Jesus. come unto me. Let me stroke you where you are. And maybe feeling loved, you might want to repent. Bull. The other day I read where they came to Jesus and they were saying, Pilate, they said, they're telling Jesus about Pilate had killed some Galileans. And Jesus said, what? You think there's sinners above everybody else? Except you repent, you're going to die. And then he remembers something he read in the local Jerusalem Times. He said, oh, how about that pool? I mean, that wall that fell recently and killed 18 people. Think they were sinners more than everybody else in Jerusalem? Except you repent, you're going to perish. I like black and white, no fuzz. You wonder why they killed him in 3 years? The own disciples didn't know what to do with him? Because he spoke the truth. The truth sets you free. You know, when you go to church and you feel more good than convicted, find another church. It's okay to feel good in your conviction. The word of God is to convict, reprove, rebuke, and exhort in all doctrine, that the man of God may be perfect, mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I take the scripture serious. So I'm sorry if you want lollipops, you know, you're not going to get it here. Two more verses, Proverbs 26:13. The slothful man says, there's a lion in the streets. A lion is in the street. What is he implying? I ain't going out there. I'm going to hide. There's something out there dangerous. Something out there that, you know, might threaten me, that might entail my becoming aggressive. No, I'll just hide here in the house so somebody else gets rid of the lion. Look at verse 16 of the same chapter. The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit. Seven men. You know what that means? He's just full of excuses. Got an excuse for everything. I'd get a job, but nobody's hiring. Oh, really? Have you looked? Yeah. Where? On the internet. When? Couple of days ago. For how long? Well, a few minutes. Oh, and you know what I'm talking about? Oh, when they do get a job, pay's never good enough. They're complainers. They whine. They badmouth. Or they blame the boss. He's a tyrant. Or they're just not healthy enough to get a job. Whatever. Always something. You know, those are the people when you get their resume. And I've hired a lot of people in my businesses over the years. I mean, I take one glance. I'll just put it, you know, 2001, April to 2002, March. Did something. August 2002 to May 2003 did something. You know what that says to me? Instability. And if I hire him, guess what? Sluggard is a talker and not a worker. You know, the Bible says if you don't work, you know, it flies in the face of our wealth. You know, our rights culture. We deserve this. Guys, unfortunately, we're under a new presidential regime that is slamming us into that direction. We were actually moving away from it. I don't know how many of y'all keep up with this. That stimulus bill that was just passed, I'll tell you something interesting. Welfare was a horrendous problem in the United States for decades. Reagan attempted to do reform in the welfare. He couldn't do it because of the Democratic Congress. But it's interesting enough, Clinton, who was a nimble whatever, he would flip right to left, whatever would garner support. And I'll never forget, in 1996, he passed welfare. And we had a Republican House, and it sailed through. And it was such a breather. And I'll never forget, the Rush Limbaugh came on that day. He said, right then, he said, you know what? Bill Clinton's going to win the next election. Because he took the major conservative issue, and he went with it. I don't know if you know that stimulus bill we just passed. It totally wiped out all the reforms. The reforms involved make work. You had to work a little bit. It's all gone. In fact, it's even worse. These things will come to light. But it's just real sad that mindset in our countries, we kind of default to it. Look, yeah, I don't blame the leader. I think it's a reflection of the people. You know, we got what we deserve with this. You know, and it's not who he is as a person. It's philosophies, of extreme government hierarchy and leftism. And but again, it's not him. People vote him what they want. Amen? Elections have consequences. Always an excuse. Here's one. They talk by the yard. They work by the yard. And here's their excuses why. I can't. I won't. I would. I could. And I should. But I ain't gonna. And here's the bottom line. It's almost impossible to reason. Now, Friday night, I taught on something I've never taught on before. I recommend y'all get that tape or download it. It's called Dealing with Rebels. And I went into great detail on 2 Timothy 2, the last several verses, on how to deal with people that are all bound up with rebellion, with stubbornness, and you can't talk to them. There's actually a way you can. But it's a methodology. I go into it. It's worth the price and the price. So anyway, does that help? How many of y'all want to quit being slug? By the way, this was part one. Bring your kids. Bring your grown kids. Is the word good? Feeds us. Pray, Lord Jesus, we bless you. We thank you. We pray these truths would go deep in our spirit, Lord. Bed them deep in our spirit. Purge out all these tendencies to passivity and laziness and slumber and sluggishness, stupor. Oh, Jesus, let us be diligent. He said, you're a rewarder of those that diligently seek you. The key to Christianity is taking, oh, Jesus, come with wisdom. The Bible says, if you lack wisdom, ask God. I pray every truth that the Holy Spirit quickened in people's hearts would just find itself embedded and written on the stone of their, on the very flesh of their heart, Jesus. Written. Lord, so we'll never forget it. We'll live it out.
For more audio teachings like these, please visit newwineonline.com.